Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another splendiferous episode of Take the Black Live, the only show on the internet where we dare to talk about the topics that the lamestream media doesn't want you to know. Stuff like TV, movies, fantasy, sci-fi, dragons, lasers, and such things as this. I am Dan Salke, the editor of winteriscoming.net, and I'm here with Daniel Roman, the other editor of winteriscoming.net. Daniel, banter.
How are you? Well, you just passed to me. I can't ask you how you're doing quite yet, but we have an exciting show planned for you guys, filled with all the most important news. Gosh, I was going to say of the week, but we actually have had important news this week. So we'll say the most important entertainment news of our lives right now. Dan, how are you today?
Lives.
That's
really
true.
Good.
Days of Our Lives, Dragon Edition.
I'm back at the office after over a week out, just because I was gone less at my parents' house, and then I couldn't get back into a rhythm, and I'm finally back here. It's really, really nice. I enjoy it. I like being at the office of, up seven stories, kind of doing this show from the comfort of my skybox. And hello, everybody out
the
there.
Nice.
Hey, Nick. I'll pull these down next time, and we can get some.
I can
some,
see
some
it.
Good skyscrapers.
I can see it in the other window.
But it's above screens. It's not. And hello, everybody joining us. Hello, Nicole. Hello, Christian. Hello, Kathleen from Orlando. Woo! We love Orlando, Kathleen. Woo! We were there recently, all the fansiders, and we all had a great time. What a great town, Orlando.
It's a glorious
Christy,
place.
And of course, hey, Julie. And hello, Martha. I love your little dragon emoji. I'm so old, I don't really know what that is. That an emoji that Martha put, like a little dragon symbol? I don't use emoji, so I don't actually know. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we can. I think it's safe to call that an emoji. I mean, you can't tell what emotion the dragon's got, but I think we can safely say
that's
is an
a good
emoji.
Point. And hello from San Diego as well. And Daniel, what is on the docket today? Hello? Snow, says Julie.
Snow, Julie, with the premonition, or I guess it's probably in the video title too. But yes, we are going to be talking about some Jon Snow show updates, some Comic-Con updates. And then we're going to be given some first impressions and some third and fourth and fifth impressions on various and sundry television shows. So it should be a good time.
It. What a nice summary. All right, Daniel, why don't you start it off? What is the big Game of Thrones size news of the past 7 days?
Yeah, so the biggest Game of Thrones news, or particular to the Jon Snow show, are
which is a thing.
All of these things love to drop the day after our podcast airs. So, of course, we have some stuff from Friday, some stuff from more recent than that. But George R. R. Martin has weighed in on the Jon Snow show. Amelia Clark and Maisie Williams, Daenerys and Arya, have both weighed in on the Jon Snow show. So we're going to
Gwendolyn Christie
you guys
chimed in,
on,
I think. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Gwendolyn Christie chimed in, too. They all said they will be on it. Just kidding. None of them said that. Not even George. But we did get the working title. And emphasis on the working title here, because the internet being the internet, lots of people are raging about how awful this title is. But I've seen some people talking about how stupid the title is, but it's a working, it's not the actual title of the show. It's just they're working on it. So huge twist here. The title of the Jon Snow show, working title, is Snow.
Sure.
That's
okay.
The most important news. That's the show.
That'll there do. What will it actually be called, do you think, when it comes out? Like Jon Snow, Legend of the Seeker, or Jon Snow.
No.
Just
oh, no.
Someone else. Jon Snow, Hammer of the North. Something like that.
Oh, Hammer of the King, the King in the North. Game of Thrones, King in the North.
Why not? Game of Thrones. Ice, cold,
John and
cold,
Ghost and
snow,
friends.
Snow everywhere. Yeah, something like that. But yes, it sounds fine. That's fine with me. for now. I mean, yeah. One of the big things was that George R. R. Martin commented at all, because he was kind of silent for a minute after this was announced that they are in development. Not Beyond the Wall is obviously a good one. Yes, you guys, Nicole and Julie.
Yeah.
So this news of the Jon Snow show leaked, and it was a leak, as he confirmed. And I was kind of waiting to see if he'd say anything at all, because, I mean, it's a leak. How do you respond to that? But in his George R. R. Martin-esque fashion, he, of course, wrote a mini little novella on his blog about all things Jon Snow show and revealed quite a few juicy details, including the whole Snow moniker.
Yeah, I was surprised at how much he talked about it.
Were you?
You know, he, like you said, he did confirm it was a leak. He confirmed the leak was not him. Yeah, I kind of wondered if he was covering his own bases there, but he kind of recounted.
Did he confirm that it was a leak? He complimented the Hollywood Reporter James Hibbard for leaking it so elegantly and responsibly, not like those filthy bloggers who twist his words in headlines. Don't know who he could be talking about. Not a clue. But, you know, George R. R. Martin just he's a writer. He writes. He sits down and he writes and just emotions come out. And I really did like his little discussions about what good and bad journalism were in that segment.
Yeah, I enjoyed that, too.
I wonder if he reads us.
He has opinions. You know, I remember seeing way, I don't know if he does anymore. I know when the show started, he did, because I remember seeing him mention Wick on his blog once many, many, many years ago.
It was years ago. He has. I wonder. And, you know, maybe we'll ask him sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope we get the chance to. But so talking about this show, he confirmed a few important details. One is something that Emilia Clarke said first, which is that this show was Kit Harington's idea.
That's
George confirmed that. It was Kit Harington's idea. He pitched this show to HBO and to George R. R. Martin. He has a team of writers that he's working with to develop it.
Like he found himself. He found the showrunner and the writers he's going to work with. Yeah.
Yeah. George says this is Kit's team that he brought in to develop this show. I'm going to ask you this, Dan. I want to ask everybody in the comments this too. Does it make you more excited for this show, knowing that it was Kit Harington's idea?
Yes, it does. I am more excited for this show because of Kieran's idea. By the way, we got some good title suggestions in the YouTube. 2 Minute of Dire Wolf. That's not bad at all. 2 Minute of Dire Wolf.
Ah, nice.
John, Lord of Bones. It does. It makes me feel more excited because whenever I hear of a new spinoff of pretty much any Hollywood industrial complex franchise, whether it be Star Wars, Marvel, Game of Thrones, whatever, I always worry that it's a bunch of people in a boardroom looking at the stats and thinking like, okay, we can really hit this target like this. And I worry there's not going to be any like juice or like human emotion in it.
Totally.
So it does make me feel a little better. I'm not saying I'm not saying like it'd be great. I'm just saying that it makes me feel better that someone this close to Christy's a funny comment, that someone this close to the show and to the character came up with the idea. And because I have faith that he cares about it. Like he spent all this time with it, he spent all these years with it. And I can picture him like just going home to Rose Leslie or whatever and being like, you know what I thought about today when I was on the set? What if Jon Snow did this? What if Jon Snow did that? What if other? And he's like, you just gotta write it down in the screenplay, love, and just submit it to HBO. And because like I have thoughts like that. I get like ideas. Yeah. And if I could pitch studio, I would. So I think that bodes well, because I think that indicates there is actually some like passion behind it. It's not made by committee. It's made by the guy who would be starring and producing it.
Yeah, you know he's not going to phone in anything for Jon Snow. Like he felt like there was more to explore with the character. And it seems like, so George R. R. Martin, you know, he always has to be really careful when he talks about this stuff. He didn't really give an opinion on whether he thinks it's a good idea or a horrible idea or anything like that. Aside from to just compliment how great Kit Harington's team and their commitment is to doing it. And basically revealed that they all came out to visit him in Santa Fe. They knocked around ideas to kind of get the premise of the show into shape. So, yeah, I'm more excited for it knowing that Kit Harington is attached too. You know, Tony has a great comment about this, that he's more excited to. Kit was so in tune with his character, and you saw how invested he was with the character's story arc and a lot of the behind the scenes footage. So I believe he'd be great.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Yeah, totally. He really did feel like, you know, there were so many amazing characters and actors on that show, but there are some who feel like they were like pillars of it. And Kit Harington as Jon Snow was one of those to me.
He was a pillar, no doubt.
It's also in terms of like, I hope that there's a strong character study element to this if they actually go through with it and like they really explore his character. But if they want to do action, Kit Harington's kind of like the action person on Game of Thrones.
That's true. He was in Battle of the Bastards. He was in Hard Home. He was in The Long Night. He does action good.
Yeah, he kind of was like their test guinea pig for their big action set pieces with that season four Watchers on the Wall
Right, right.
So like right from the beginning, kind of as they were experimenting with the bigger battles and following specific characters, he was kind of in it. So yeah, I think, I don't know, fingers crossed. You know, George R. R. Martin also reminded us, as much as he would love for all four live action spinoffs, that's 10,000 Ships, Sea Snake, Duncan Egg, and this Jon Snow show, as much as he'd love to see them all, that's not the way it usually works. So the chances of all four making it to air are not very good because the TV industry.
And thank God, because I mean, like, I don't want too much on there, even if they're all actually good developments. I don't think it'd be good. You know, honestly, I feel like now that Marvel has so many shows on the air and that Star Wars has so many shows on the air, I feel like even people who aren't me are getting a little bit fatigued and kind of setting in to a little bit just, it doesn't really feel very special. Even if they have a ton of good ideas, I hope they keep it streamlined. And so far, so good.
Yes. Same.
What's his idea? I have a gavel. I found this. What do you think is going to happen? The gavel adds a lot. Yeah, there's a little thing here too. I think this is on like the Sport and Order show, which you should all watch if it's on. You
know. Nice. Man, yeah. Let us know in the comments what you think. Leo says, I have an idea. Snow should meet Drogon again. And I think one thing I am most curious about and least sure about. So like my gut instinct is, oh, it'll be Jon Snow having some kind of adventures beyond the wall. But you know, the last season delved pretty far into the idea that Jon is a Targaryen. We had some really cool shots where you saw like Jon and Dany, and it's like, oh, this is the end of House Targaryen, these two characters. I hope that if they're going to do a Jon Snow spinoff, they spend some time examining both sides of his lineage. Stark side being in the north, and also what it means that he's the last living Targaryen, and there's just a dragon out there somewhere. Those are interesting questions to me.
Yep.
What about you?
Then I get nervous about, I just don't know. I really don't. I don't know what he could have been, what he came up with, but hopefully it's good. I do think that, I think it's Christy has a good point that at this point, if the show doesn't happen, fans will riot. I mean, which is, you know, an internet saying, a euphemism, but I mean, if you quietly canceled 10,000 Ships, I don't think you'd have much blowback. No one knows about it anyway, but it's going to be hard to have news of a Kit Harington does Jon Snow again show out there to not do it. That'll be a little more of a thing, but
yeah, it has a level of hype and buzz that the other spinoffs haven't, aside from House of the Dragon, because that's actually happening. None of the other spinoffs have had this level of buzz and kind of excitement, I think. So yeah, I agree, there will be riots, hopefully.
There are never actually I mean, as much as like the phrase if blank happens, we riot, no one's ever rioted. I never rioted for this. You never rioted. No one out there's ever rioted over this. If Steve dies in Stranger Things and there are actually riots, I will be impressed. But I don't think there will be. We haven't seen Stranger Things.
All right.
That's not a spoiler.
We have not. We can't spoil it. But that is a prevailing theory. And we'll see if there are riots, if it happens. So yeah, that's the main Jon Snow news. The other thing he just confirmed was that this spinoff is not new. It has been in development just as long as the rest of them. That surprised me because they kept it on the down low for so long.
Because they knew what Chrissy knows, that if it gets out and they don't go through with it, there will be metaphorical Twitter internet riots. So they kept it a secret because they didn't want to have to disappoint people if they end up canceling it. That's my theory. And then, you know, journalistic paragon James Hibbard got a hold of it. The perfect 10 man James Hibbard, and he leaked it. And then they have to deal with this. That's my theory of what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's about it. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. That's really the main news. I see some people talking about other characters they'd like to see. I'd love to see Sam Tarly as well, Martha. Totally agree. And Sydney, if Sansa, that's one thing I did think about. If Jon is still in the North, maybe there's something with Sansa ruling and wildlings still being up there. And who better to help smooth that over than Jon? But we don't know. We'll see.
They're thinking if about there are Arya, riots I'm
or
sure.
if there are wildlings.
See, now I'm starting to wonder if when they asked Maisie Williams, like, would you come back? Like, I don't know. Maybe if she's lying, too, because we know this cast can lie.
Ooh.
So who knows?
We do.
We got to get Sophie Turner on the press trail for whatever she's doing now and start asking her irritating questions about would you come back?
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll happen sooner or later.
Yeah. She said she's very excited for this Jon Snow show. So we'll
and yes,
see.
Everyone, Julian, LCH, excited Jeremy, Sam, and Tormund are obviously, I mean, and Tormund and Ghost are just like the doys, the does. You got to have it or why make it at all? I'm sure they'll be. And if they're not, we'll riot. If they're not, we're going to riot. I'm saying it right here. And I mean it.
That's 100%. Right. That's
and yes,
right.
Christy, I believe you're, yes, Kit Harington and Martin have indeed talked about the story.
They have.
Oh, yeah. He's at least in on it.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Speaking of George R. R. Martin, anything in the news with him, Daniel?
Yeah, so you folk out on the West Coast in the San Diego area might know about a little thing called San Diego Comic-Con. It happens. Well, I guess it hasn't happened for the past few years, but it is happening in person again this year. And George R. R. Martin will be there along with a slew of people attached to House of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. HBO is bringing in House of the Dragon to Comic-Con, and they are bringing it hard. Dan, are you going?
No. Sorry. That it should have been. No, I'm not. I don't think I am. I think Ariba Bouvad is going to go. She's usually our person on the ground. She loves this stuff. I've never been. Have you ever been to San Diego Comic-Con?
I have not. I've been to the New York one, but I have not been to San Diego.
But Chicago Con. I don't know. To like, if Fansided wants to send me and get a hotel and just send me for free, I'll go. And happily, but probably not. But I am excited to see that they're pushing House of Dragons hard. So they've reserved a space in Hall 8, which apparently is like the prestige, famed. The famed, infamed. hall where all the big announcements go down. This is where Marvel reveals that, I don't know, Natalie Portman's going to be Thor again. And this is where other big stuff happens, I'm sure. And they're going to have a house record panel there. There'll be the showrunners. They'll have a ton of the actors on it. George R. R. Martin will be there, which is notable just because whenever he whenever he leaves his house, it's kind of notable because we wonder about when's a winner. I don't think he'll make an announcement. It would be quite a coup if he did about that.
I
love how hard HBO is promoting the show because they've got they've got this Comic-Con panel, which again, San Diego Comic-Con, it's been gone for 3 years. It's been digital for 3 years. It's the first like flesh and blood thing in 3 years. So it's a big deal to have House of the Dragon in this prestigious spot. Yes. You know, they've released the poster, they released a trailer. They're going to have a thing where you like download a dragon Tamagotchi app and you raise your own dragon egg. And I'm not sure how to feel about that. But the point is they're trying.
Same.
Like they're really trying to get the word out, which bodes well because it means they believe in the series, which means it could be good, which is happy for me because happiness is tied to whether or not the dragon show is good.
That's right. Yeah, they have like a big interactive exhibit there. It's House of the Dragon, the Dragon's Den. It's always hard for me to imagine what that's actually going to be like. I mean, that's the that's why you have to go, is to see what it'll be like. But supposedly you'll go through a rigorous thing to hatch your own dragon egg. And then, like you said, it's a Tamagotchi that lives on your phone. You can't make it Dracarys, your annoying neighbors. It just basically flies around and doesn't actually eat. The big question on my mind about this, aside from just that it's very cool that people like Martin and Ryan Condal and Miguel Sapochnik will all be there for this, do we think they're going to show any new footage at this thing? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you got a Hall H. You don't come empty-handed. The only way they could not show new footage is if George R. R. Martin brought a completed Winds of Winter manuscript and just showed it and held it up like Simba.
He just thumped it on the table.
The Lion King, yeah, and just showed it. That's the only way. Otherwise, they better have new footage.
Okay.
They better have new footage and, you know, like putting a copy of the House of Dragon soundtrack under every seat in the house wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. I think we'll see new footage. It's right around the corner. This show, listen, everyone, this is very important news for your life right now. It is about to be July 1st in 2 days. And like Stranger Things is coming. That's cool. But that also means House of the Dragon comes out the following month. We are almost a month away from House of the Dragon, month and a half. It is exciting. It is gavel worthy. So yeah. I'm excited to see what comes out of this Comic-Con panel. There will definitely be good stuff.
Totally. Yeah, it should be a good time. And, you know, it'll be nice in general to have Comic-Con back.
Yeah.
I like a good trade show where everyone is trying to outdo each other with their reveals and floor shows. That's always fun. I miss E3 for that. The old video game thing was always good for that. But at least we have Comic-Con.
Yeah. Yes. We've got to take what we can get right now. It's nice to see it back in person this year. And nice to see HBO bringing a Game of Thrones show to famed Hall H.
Apparently for the first time, like I'm not a second sure about this, but apparently Warner Brothers hadn't been to Comic-Con before, or like Warner Bros. Discovery hadn't been. Doesn't make any sense to me though. You know what? Maybe we shouldn't go too deep into this because I'm pretty sure.
I think I don't know with all the mergers how it's all worked, but I could swear Game of Thrones had Hall H stuff in the past.
Me too. So I think we should just ignore the past 15 seconds of discussion, act like it never happened. I shouldn't have brought it up, and ask you how you're enjoying the newly debuted, no marketing, fourth season of Westworld on HBO.
Okay. That's funny.
If they're pushing House of the Dragon so hard, I didn't see a thing for Westworld.
Yeah. Yeah. They are pushing House of the Dragon so hard because they are not pushing Westworld. Yeah. So my thoughts on Westworld season 4, I think it's a shame they haven't marketed it more, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I was one of those people who loved the first season.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I'm with you.
Was kind of, I liked things about the second season. I think one of the best episodes in the entire show is in the second season, but it kind of got weird, kind of lost me at places. And then the third season was really weird. Had some cool ideas. The whole, it's like the cyberpunk Westworld season, but it just didn't feel like the same show. This season feels like Westworld again.
That's good to hear.
Is kind of the, yeah. And I've seen the first two, the one that came out last Sunday and then the one that's coming out this Sunday. And I actually had to go back and rewatch the first couple of episodes of season three to really test whether this was just my survivor's bias thinking, oh, it's back, it must be better, or whether it actually is better than season three. And in my opinion, it actually is better. I think it's, you know, season three introduced a bunch of new elements out of the gate that it was hard to really understand why we should care about. And season four feels like it is really digging into the roots of the series. It's nodding back to previous stuff a lot more. We see some characters like, we won't get into the nitty nuanced spoilervilles for stuff like this, but we do see Ed Harris back this year, and he is evil Ed Harris back as the Man in Black. We won't say anything more, but the actor is back as the Man in Black. And there are things like that where it's like, okay, we're back in the show. It's funny because Ed Harris has kind of said this too. Like, he basically was like, I didn't sign up for the white clothing loony bin like, I was here to be an awful black-hatted cowboy.
I barely remember.
Thank you
that.
for letting me do it again.
I haven't watched it, but apparently we have some good responses. Julie enjoyed it. She thought it was a new character played by Evan Rachel Wood. It's fresh. And yeah, I think Lee LCHM agrees with you. She's one phenomenal kind of downhill from there, which I kind of agreed with. And Leo misses the Western world. Let me ask you this, Daniel, because I haven't watched it, and I'm not sure I will. We'll see. It sounds intriguing.
Yeah, there's so many shows right now.
Does it feel like they're setting up an ending this season? Like, there's kind of like a thing where we're not really sure if it's going to end or not. But you've watched the first two. How does it feel? What's the vibe check?
The vibe is this does not feel like the last season.
Okay.
And actually, the showrunner or one of the showrunners, Lisa Joy, has confirmed that this is not the ending they have envisioned for the show. So they are hoping, knock on wood, to get at least one more season. She said we're not quite at our ending that we always pictured for the show yet. But it does feel like, you know, when stories get late in their run, they start to harken back to previous things more. And it feels like we may not be at the end of Westworld, but we're nearing the end of Westworld. Nicole says she read a few theories that season four might have occurred before season one. So it's actually a prequel. I will be that guy who debunks that for you. That is definitely not the case. The showrunner has confirmed this, but it also, they say it in the show, this season takes place 7 years after season three, which is an enormous time
isn't
jump.
Aaron Paul around and his character, he is. Caleb, he's older and stuff.
Caleb is older. Caleb has a family. A lot has changed. They do a good job with the time jump, I think, because Westworld has never really done a time jump of this scale where it's like, you know, before it was like, oh, the park fell apart. And then we're seeing the immediate aftermath or like a month or two later. Now it's like stuff has happened. The world has changed since Westworld season three in some really interesting ways. I think the show has always been good at posing big questions about how we interact with technology. And just the Christina storyline. Okay. So Nicole says, I should have clarified, just Christina.
Oh, Christina, they might actually pull something like that. They've done it before.
They have done something like that before. And I think at this point, we can't say for sure one way or another. Can't say for sure. I don't think so. But Westworld has done crazy stuff before. So yeah, we'll see what they do with that. Christina, in case for those of you watching don't know, that's Evan Rachel Wood's new character. Mm-hmm. And something is definitely afoot there. Christina is the biggest mystery of the season.
Yeah, she has brown hair.
She does. Again, to keep referencing this one interview I read with the showrunner, she was like, oh yeah, we needed a good actor. We just cast Evan in it again. And you know, she has different color hair. Maybe no one will notice.
Yeah, that's cute.
Ooh. But yeah, so Westworld's good this season. So far, good. Knock on wood, a lot depends on where it's going.
I'm going to try and try it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and try it. Because cool. I mean, mostly, I do. We have a brief break right now in between. Apparently, there are glass phones Are there glass phones on the show?
There are. The phones are like little glass tablet. Like I say tablets, there's no edge to it. It's just like a little piece of glass that works like a tablet. The tech has always been very cool in Westworld, and especially in the like the real world. They've done a lot of interesting things with like imagining what a slightly futuristic technology society would look like.
I respect
you're going to give it a shot. Is that what I just heard?
I'm going to try. Well, the problem isn't desire. It's time. Like, you know, it's the summer. Mm-hmm. I want to go some fun in the sun. And also just so much TV is on. Although I will confess, mostly this past week, I just watched ahead to the end of this season of The Boys. So I have all the screeners.
Ooh.
And instead of watching like Ms. Marvel, which I'll watch later because I came in today. I didn't watch today over lunch. I came in late. It's a whole thing. I watched to the end of The Boys season 3. So I saw the episode's going to come out on Friday. I saw the ones going to come out next Friday. And obviously, I can't give you any spoilers, but I will say I was a little disappointed in the finale. I was a little let down.
Okay. Okay.
And that's it, though. I really can't say anything else.
Okay. Yeah. We can't talk about it, but I'm intrigued by that. It's interesting. I feel like, you know, they got Herogasm out before Stranger Things airs this week and sucks all the air out of the room. So it is hard to imagine where they go from there, but we'll have to reserve judge. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's be real. Stranger Things is proven remarkably durable season 4 since it debuted in late May. Folk have not stopped talking about it. It is hype is very high. I'm sorry. I know I don't like it, Julie, but hype is very high for the new episodes Friday. I'm looking forward to it. I'm probably going to get up really early in the morning to watch them because A, I want to, and B, I have this job. And I do want to see them very badly. That's good for that show for being an original product that has really gotten run up that hill and gotten to the top.
Yes. Yes. It has run up that hill to the top, run up that building. Yep. It's done that thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited for these last two episodes. Mm-hmm. I was watching some stuff the other night about how the Duffer brothers, who are the showrunners for Stranger Things, when they were making the earlier seasons, they kept telling Netflix, look at what HBO is doing with Game of Thrones. We need to take notes from that. And this season, it feels like that's really come to fruition. Like, I thought that was cool. Like it does.
Although again, not to harp on this, but that does mean if they're notes from Game of Thrones, someone's going to die or multiple people are going to die. I hope that
you would
happens.
Think.
Nicole, weirdly, I don't think either of us have watched The Umbrella Academy. I'm sorry about that. I watched the first two seasons. I just haven't gotten around to the third one. There's way too much.
I've seen the first two episodes, I think. And it is hard. This feels like the one of the first times that I can remember where it's really just like, I can't keep, there are so many shows. Like it is our job to watch all these shows. And I can't watch all these shows because there are too many of them.
There are other shows that I like, you know, I just finished Hacks and Barry, neither of which we really cover here because they're not really sci-fi fantasy. But I want to watch those too. Yeah. Like, come on, what am I supposed to do? But definitely going to watch the rest of The Boys. Definitely going to get on probably Better Call Saul soon. I'll watch Ms. Marvel. I'll keep up with that. And we'll have lots to talk about later as The Sandman, House of the Dragon, Lord of the Rings all comes out. I'm going to watch all of that. And if I can get to the Umbrella, I think Westworld's up here and then the Umbrella Academy right behind it. I want to check out from Westworld. But I'm glad you guys are liking it, Umbrella Academy, in the comments.
I see someone calling out Resident Evil. Thank you, Richard. Yes, I'm excited for that. Ooh. Yeah, I think that's the fair ranking for me. What you just said, Westworld and Umbrella Academy. I like the first two episodes. They're weird. They're wacky. Show is definitely right in its same kind of lane. I found myself drifting a little bit in the first few episodes. They didn't really grip me as much as I thought they would. With the one exception of, I think they handled Elliot Page's transition storyline. They're doing a really excellent job with that in that show in a way that I haven't seen many other shows do. So I think it deserves a lot of credit for how it's doing that.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job with it. But as a whole, I am enjoying it, but I'm not enjoying it more than Westworld or The Boys or any of the other 10 shows that are on right now, which is the difficult thing when there are so many.
But we're going to watch all of them, so don't worry.
That's,
Matt Smith.
That's true.
Oh, Matt Smith, love your work. Is Burstein waiting for House of the Dragon and Nan Snow along with the boys, Stranger Things. Yeah, it is. It's a good time. And Julie, up there, you were a little sad about my The Boys assessment. It wasn't bad. It's just I thought they would go a little further and they didn't go as far as I wanted them to in the finale. But it's good. It's a good episode. We'll have to talk about it in more detail when we get there. Yes, Matt Smith has a normal job. You're an actor. I mean, I don't know. You mean like you're a really big actor. It's not that normal. And you can't keep up. Which, yes, I agree. So I think we're actually coming in a little, for once, sort of under the wire. Anything else you want to talk about before we get to our famed Wick News lightning round?
Yeah, well, is there anything else we've been watching? The one other show I will mention, because, you know, we're talking about all these shows. I've been watching The Orville, and The Orville is a show that I've just kind of been like, yeah, I'll watch it when it's on. This season of The Orville is, frankly, I think it's incredible, which I don't say very often.
Yeah,
it's been really, really like I find myself being excited for new episodes.
It's so great.
Like days before they air. So that one, if you like Star Trek, those kinds of shows, The Orville is really, really worth checking out this season. It's just fantastic.
What if I don't like Star Trek? I'm not into Star Trek, but the way you talk about The Orville makes me want to watch it. Will I enjoy it even if I've never seen really anything Trek? Because I really haven't.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with it's not like they drop it. There's no need for pre-existing knowledge of Star Trek to appreciate what they're doing on The Orville. It's just that it really started as a Star Trek spoof almost.
Yes.
So like their uniforms, the fact that they're on this ship flying around, like doing missions very similarly to Star Trek. Like you don't need to have seen any Star Trek to appreciate The Orville. It's just that those are the tropes they were playing with.
Sure.
I think it's worth giving a shot. And the third season is just way more cinematic. I almost said earlier the special effects made Mickey Mouse cry bitter tears of resentment. And then I remembered Mickey Mouse owns Hulu too. So Mickey Mouse is getting the last laugh. But yeah, it's been excellent.
Leo agrees. He says Orville rules. So yeah, it sounds really great. And I want to pick that up and I'm just going to try to cram it into the schedule. All right, Daniel, are you ready?
I think so. Is there anything else you've been watching? Did we hit on all the things?
This week, not so much. Next week, we can talk in some more detail about stuff that's going on. And I usually watch Ms. Marvel over lunch, but this is a fun story for all of you. I bike into work and then I got all the way here and I forgot my key card to the office. So I started to bike back at a house, and then a coworker texted me that he was here. So I went back and he let me in, but I lost some time. So something had to go and it was Ms. Marvel, but I'll watch it later.
Sorry, Ms. Marvel. Yeah, I haven't watched today's either. I watched last week's. I'm enjoying it a lot. I think, again, it's another one where I almost feel like with Ms. Marvel and with Moon Knight, they're doing such a good job with their representation telling stories with different groups. I'm not loving the actual plot of them, though. That's kind of how I felt about Moon Knight, and it's kind of how I feel about Ms. Marvel too.
I feel that, yeah, just sort of the I'm really enjoying like Kamala Khan with her family, and
me too.
I love the actress. Like, she's doing a great job. I love the kind of minutiae of her life and the way we're getting to Pakistani culture and the way she has like her friend group and they have kind of emotional currents going on, and her factual family, her older brother, her father. They're all kind of cool characters. And then sort of the interdimensional super baddies show up and I just get a little bored.
That's exactly how I felt. Yeah. It really started to lose me when it was introducing like the actual superhero plot of what her big threat is going to be. But
they're very generic now. The villains are just kind of like pop in. They seem a little malignant and there's really nothing beyond that yet.
Yeah. So jury's out. I think the show, Matt Smith says, not watched any Ms. Marvel. Is it worth it? If you enjoy Marvel, sure.
Not long.
Yeah. If you don't like Marvel, it's not going to change your opinion, most likely.
Okay. Are we ready for the lightning round now?
I think so. Is it time to lightning?
Lightning round is in session. Okay. The world famous, Wick News lightning round.
We should keep that. We need to keep that.
I mean, again, This is like from a different fan-sided show. Oh, Thor, of course. Thor is next week. Oh, that's going to be a big one. We'll see that.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to see that somewhere or another. Okay, the world-famous WIC News Lightning Round, where we go through a bunch of stories. We didn't have time to really get into the main body of the show and give our 20-second takes on them, going back and forth. Daniel, you arranged this one. So according to the 1,000-year-old WIC News Lightning Round rules, you decide whether I ask you first or you ask me first.
Okay, like I'm glad we are continuing the tradition of our forefathers. I will ask you first this time. Okay. Dan, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jodie Foster and Callie Reyes will star in True Detective Season 4.
I love it. I think it's a great idea. True Detective has been kind of up and down show, but Jodie Foster is Hollywood royalty. I mean, Silence of the Lambs, Taxi Driver, Contact. And she doesn't do a lot of work anymore. So it's really going to be really cool to see her back in a lead role on a TV show. I don't know as much about Kelly Reyes, but she sounds highly recommended. And I like True Detective. I like the darkness. I like the all of it. I'm into it.
Cool.
Okay. Oh, okay. Here is one definitely for you, Daniel. So Netflix is making a television show based on the video game series Horizon Zero Dawn. Reportedly, it's going to be called Horizon 2074, and it will feature parallel past and far future timelines. Does this intrigue you?
It makes me really nervous. I love the Horizon Zero Dawn. I love those games. I'm intrigued. So the past and present thing, they're going to primarily focus on the past is what the reports are. I think that's an interesting choice because that's not where the games are set. So it may be almost more of a companion piece to the games than actually adapting them.
Work. I'm playing Elden Ring now. I went to the TV show about that. All right.
It's just people dying for 50 minutes on repeat.
No one ever wins.
It will. It'll look great and terrifying. So The Rings of Power, Amazon's upcoming juggernaut Lord of the Rings prequel, it got a new tagline this past week. Nothing is evil in the beginning. What do you think? Does this make you intrigued?
I think that line has a deep tie to J.R.R. Tolkien's cosmology in the Silmarillion, and I will now explain it for the next 20 minutes. Tolkien's big on the idea of corruption and the fall and the machine kind of taking over and just like using the will to power to corrupt somebody. I like it because I think it indicates they are thinking about the theme, which is high level stuff. So that's good.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Totes, 100%. Okay, this is pretty funny. So The Boys is a famously gross show where a man goes up a urethra and explodes. Apparently... The show is so kind of out there that it's part of what inspired Amazon to create its own standards and practices division to oversee stuff like what's happening on The Boys set.
Yep. I think that's so funny. Standards and practices make sure everything is suitable to go on air. Mm-hmm. Amazon didn't have one, and then it got The Boys, and then it had to make one. And obviously, they... we're sweating quite a lot with HeroGasm, specifically the octopus scene. They had long conversations about what you can and can't show with animals on television.
And they came down on the correct side of it, I hope. Or we'll see what Peter has to say about it later.
Yeah, I am just waiting. Because we can't get into it. Peter gave The Boys an award for its octopus a few episodes back. I'm so curious what they think of the new one. Okay, so speaking of... We were talking about the Umbrella Academy a little earlier.
Yeah.
Dan, the Umbrella Academy showrunner is hoping to end the series with season 4. Good call? Bad call? Medium call?
Sounds about right. You want to know when you get out. And that show rides so high on this like loopy energy. I don't know if it's the kind of thing that could really last into like seasons 5, 6, 7. So I think season 4 sounds about right. You don't want to outstay your welcome when your whole thing is novelty after novelty after novelty. I think we're doing pretty good today, Dan. I think we are in the zone, or at least in the zone of the zone. All right. Another video game one for you, you video game person.
Yes. Give me all the game news.
See, Dune star, Sex and the City alum Kyle MacLachlan is joining Amazon Prime Video's Fallout TV show, Twin Peaks.
Yeah, You know, I was really nervous when I heard about they were making a Fallout show. It's the Westworld showrunners doing this at Amazon. But every time they announce a new casting, I'm like, you know, this person is kind of perfect. Because Fallout, it's not about the characters. It's about the aesthetic of this satirical post-apocalyptic world and finding people who fit that.
Cool.
Yeah. Intrigued.
comment. It's really, really fast. Ooh. Nicole says, that's the right call for Umbrella. I mean, how many apocalypses can you have? I agree, Nicole. It's good to get out when you're still riding high and before it gets kind of ridiculous. I mean, more ridiculous.
Yeah, totally, totally agree with that. It is like every season has been a chain reaction of them causing an apocalypse and trying to prevent it. How many times can you do that? But yeah, and then Leo's giving you a shout out because Herogasm was not all that.
It was nice, but yeah, it wasn't all that. I mean, again, I want to say what my favorite bit is, but I don't want to say it on camera. So just, you know what?
That's fair. That's fair.
Solid. Let's just move on.
Sounds good. Okay. So moving on to a much more pious subject. Pious because this is about the High Sparrow. Jonathan Pryce, who played the High Sparrow on Game of Thrones, joins Benioff and Weiss's new Netflix show, The Three-Body Problem. He's the third Game of Thrones vet in the cast after Liam Cunningham and John Bradley. You excited to see Jonathan Pryce in this?
Yeah, Jonathan Pryce is another like a Hollywood legend, like back from Brazil. He like is. He's really, 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 really good. He was great as the High Sparrow. I mean, that character could have been boring. He made it like a very textured, deep guy. I liked the High Sparrow because of him. This show is very ambitious. Benioff and Weiss, they're going to do this whole new thing. I'm excited for it. Should be cool. It's original again. So yeah, I'm into it. And I love that there's some family stuff reunion going on.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're doing pretty good. All right. Ooh, here's a juicy one. Daniel. So the television show Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi was originally planned as a movie trilogy. And the limited series we just watched only covered the events of the first film. What is that?
Yeah. Yeah. So Obi-Wan Kenobi was planned as a trilogy and then Solo tanked at the box office and they pulled the plug on their plans to make the Obi-Wan trilogy. So this means they already kind of have outlines for where they would go next. And part of it is him accepting his own mortality because that's where he eventually ends up in A New Hope. All right, Dan, this one just came in today. Season 3 of Jason Momoa's post-apocalyptic drama C on Apple TV Plus will be its last.
I assume some people are watching this, but I haven't met them. You know, the show where Jason Momoa is a blind tribal chieftain in a far future where nobody can see except a few people, and they're very important. It always looked cool. I never watched it. I think we're going to try to cover it for this final season because, I don't know, it had a good run. Let's get it off the bang.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one I've always been curious about.
Curious is a good word. Nicole likes it. Original and creative, which it does look original and creative.
Oh, nice.
And finally, Daniel, an episode of The Orville that was going to be shot, but then they had to just lose it because of COVID delays, is going to be released as a novella that Seth MacFarlane himself wrote next month.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. You know, it's always a toss-up when you hear that a TV script is going to be released as a book, but Seth MacFarlane actually novelized it, and not every showrunner or writer on a show could do that. So I'm really curious about it. It takes place between the 8th and 9th episodes of The Orville New Horizons, and it's only around 120 pages. You can pre-order it now.
That Seth MacFarlane, that industrious, busy bee. And that's our show. Thanks, Julie, for the B-plus in terms of the Wikipedia. I agree. And I'll take a B-plus as a student. So it's fine. Yeah, I like that.
It feels like a B-plus day.
And we'll aim for A-minus, A, or even S-class on the next episode of Take the Black Live, which will be up next Wednesday because we stream these live every Wednesday on the Winners Coming Facebook page or the Winners Coming YouTube page. We're also available. Thank you, Matt Smith. Thank you, Matt Smith. Pass our greetings on to Olivia Cook. I'll stop this bit next time, Matt Smith. Just it's just funny. We're also available on podcast form wherever you download your podcast: Apple Play, Google Play, iTunes, wherever. And before we sign off, I will leave you with a bit of wisdom. A dragon is a flying lizard with four legs. A wyvern is a flying lizard with two legs. And a hopeless nerd is someone who knows the difference. Goodbye, everybody, and see you next week.
Take care, y'all.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.